drizzly wet night last night at the MCG. And unfortunately, that was to the detriment of the Melbourne Stars. Their captain, David Hussey, joins us on the line to have a chat about the game against the Renegades. Good morning to you, Huss.
Morning, mate. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Disappointing loss last night?
Yeah, it was disappointing. I can't say that we were actually outplayed. I just thought the weather sort of intervened a little bit. Probably a few non-cricketing intelligent decisions were made by us. So, yeah, which resulted in a loss, which is rather disappointing.
Well, we just spoke to Em Ingalls about the Duckworth-Lewis system and the reducing of overs and how that went bad for them in regards to what target was set for the Renegades to win the game. It didn't sort of affect you guys that much, but off that, does there need to be a better system than the Duckworth-Lewis system for T20 matches and shortening off?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a bit outdated. I think early 2000s, Duckworth-Lewis came in, and I think it was a breath of fresh air for the 50-over format, but no disrespect to it. In the T20 format, it's chalk and cheese. Some days it really favours the team batting second, and like last night for us, the Renegades lost 12 runs and two overs, which technically it's sort of puts them back in the game and definitely more than favourites.
Calamity of errors towards the end, three runouts in the one over, and it looked like there at one stage that Stoinis might have been the greatest wicket taker for the Renegades with those three runouts. Is that something that you guys need to work on, or is that just one of those byproducts of a night where you're trying to get those very quick runs with only a couple of overs to go?
Yeah, it's probably more the latter. It's probably the byproduct of a bit of pressure and sort of the run rates at 14 and over. And at that stage, once it gets to 14 or 15 and over, you're very rarely going to win the game. But you just never know, that 1 in 10 chance of winning the game. And, a couple of non-cricketing decisions happened with some runouts. And, it happens in T20 cricket. It's an unbelievable game. It's unpredictable and pressure definitely builds on a lot of players.
You're mentioning non-cricketing decisions. What do you mean by that, Dave?
What I mean by that is, are they taking the best decision for that right ball or right moment of the game? Where trying to get Stoinis back on strike, should we run a little bit faster or should we just stop and suck it up and just sort of be tactically? So for the last ball of the penultimate over, Scott Boland sort of had a free hit, as in... he was trying to hit six, and therefore Stoinis remains on strike for the last over, and hopefully he gets 20 off the last over to win. But unfortunately, Scott didn't hit the six, and they end up trying to run two, and Scott ended up getting run out, which basically means we only have one wicket in the shed for the last over. So that's what I sort of mean. But at the Melbourne Stars, we pride ourselves on being more cricket savvy than most of the other teams, and unfortunately, last night we weren't that savvy.
71,000 again last night at the MCG, just over 80,000 last year at this match as well at the MCG. It really is now becoming the biggest rivalry in cricket in the world.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? The Renegades played a very good brand of cricket last night. They went hard and they targeted a few of our bowlers. And I think the Melbourne Stars and the Renegades, they desperately want to beat each other. So it's great for cricket, and it's fantastic that all the fans turned up 70,000 last night at the MCG at the home of cricket. It's fantastic result.
Old blokes and T20 cricket, and unfortunately, we nearly put you in that category. Well, we do put you in that category, don't we? But is it great that it's prolonging the career for you guys to stick around, or do you feel that you might be taking the spot of a younger kid who could be coming through? And I speak of guys like Brad Hogg, 45 years of age, but still doing the work. I mean, no one could begrudge you guys for what you're doing, because you're still getting out there and still making the runs or taking the wickets.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a fine balance. For me personally, I only really can talk about myself, but I really enjoy playing, still playing at the best level, and try and educate these younger kids who are coming through in certain situations. And basically, T20 cricket is for the now. You must win every game that you possibly play, or you set out to win, whereas maybe in the Sheffield Shield or Matador Cup or even some international games, you sort of have got one eye looking for the future as well. So it is a fine line and a balancing act, and I certainly understand on both sides of the coin.
Are you surprised at what Brad Hogg's still doing in his career?
No, not really. He's actually a very consistent bowler. He bowls very good areas and he sort of reads the batsman pretty well, whether the batsman's going to run at him or any... rams it in very short, or he knows the batsman's going to sit back. He bowls really reasonably full, so he does read the game pretty well, and he bowls very consistent areas. And therefore, when you look throughout the world, leg spinners generally have great results. Whether you're Brad Hogg, Shane Warne, or Adam Zampa, generally the results are pretty very similar. So, I'm not really surprised. that Charlton is doing well as well.
I think BBL 6 has brought along one thing, and that is just unpredictability. It is so hard to try and pick a winner of any given game on any given day now in the BBL at the moment.
Yeah, that's the beauty of T20 cricket. Anything can happen. We saw in our first game against the Hobart Hurricanes, Rob Corney played out of his skin and we chased down 190 in 17 overs. So it just anything can happen. Any one player can have their day and blow the other team away. It's a fantastic advertisement for cricket, and hopefully gets a lot of the younger kids playing in a certain style of a game that we're all accustomed to now.
You mentioned Bobby Quanah. He was fantastic against the Hurricanes in the first game. Unfortunately, with a hamstring injury at the moment, how many weeks do we expect him out for?
Yeah, he's not too far away. He's actually been running it on the spot with the physio, Tommy Simsek. He's probably got a couple more running sessions to do before he's actually past fit. So he misses the Sydney Thunder game, which we leave today for. We play on the Thursday and then hopefully be back for the Renegades game at Etihad Stadium on, I think it's Saturday or Sunday, on the 7th.
Yeah,
anyway.
Saturday. So it's a packed schedule, isn't it? Three games in the 1 week.
Yeah, it is good. It's probably it's a blessing in disguise. So when you put in a performance like we did last night, probably not at our best, probably at a B grade level, you can sort of just wash your hands with it, move on to the next game, and sort of not dwell on it, and just move on to the Sydney Thunder game and try and prepare and just put the best foot forward. And maybe it's a little bit of a wake up call for the Melbourne Stars players as well. To right, we're actually in this tournament now. We've got to start bringing our A-game for every contest that we play.
Speaking of old blokes, one bloke I did leave out was Kevin Peterson. What a great catch last night to be able to stretch out. Probably the hardest catch you're going to take in cricket, in any form of the game, is running with the ball, looking over your shoulder and getting the legs on to actually get there. And then not a bad knock for his first hit back for this year.
Fantastic catch, first and foremost. I actually thought money on the ball, and I think Scott Boland was a bowler. He walked straight back to his mark thinking, oh, well, it's two runs.
Yeah.
It was just an unbelievable catch, running flat out, flat pace, flat chat, and, over his head. It's just incredible. Yeah, like you just said, it's the hardest catch in cricket, and for him to get off to the start that he did yesterday, hitting a couple of fours off his pads off Chris Tremaine, probably one of the fastest bowlers in the competition going around. It's basically breeding well for the rest of the tournament for him. I think once we get him in form, I think we'll go a long, long way in the tournament.
We speak about the unpredictability. You mentioned you got the Sydney Thunder. Final question for you. They haven't won a game this year, but that doesn't mean, I presume, you're going to take them any lighter than you would any other team.
No, definitely not. Well, they've got the wood over us. They've beaten us the last two times. So, yeah, we've definitely got to... first and foremost, we've got to focus on what we can do better. And we want to get the right side of the ledger in 2-1, two wins, one loss sort of thing. But I think with this competition, it is so unpredictable that teams are going to beat anybody on their day. So I think one team might actually scrape into the finals with just three wins this year, and you just never know. So we're actually probably... probably main focus to put the final nail in the coffin of the Thunder's finals campaign, perhaps.
Really appreciate your time this morning, mate. Thank you for that, and good luck with the turnaround game on Saturday against the Renegades at Etihad.
Much appreciated, Tony. Thanks, mate. Take care.
You too, buddy. David Hussey joining us, the captain of the Melbourne Stars.